For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen, you want to see him bounce back today. You don't want to see these one-game skids become two or three. But this is where the starting pitching, you know, the back end of the rotation. Will Warren goes today. Schmidt didn't have a lot of control last night. But all in all, Yankees still look pretty good. Schmidt just didn't have it last night. I know the way to say it. He just did not have command.
And we, of course, are reacting to Game 2. Knicks lost last night, tied up one game apiece as the series will now shift to Detroit. What, next week is Game 3? When exactly is Game 3?
I think it's Thursday.
Thursday.
2 weeks from now, yes.
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks. Yeah. Right, Game 3 next week, next Thursday, and then Game 4, the following Thursday. It's ridiculous these things are spaced out here. I hate the 2 days in between, which, by the way, is not even that bad, but the more that it starts to pile up. So Game 3 is Thursday, same night as the draft.
Sunday at 1 is Game 4.
Okay, Sunday at 1, Game 4, and then Tuesday night, I believe it is, right? Back at the Garden.
Yeah, so it's 2-2-1-1-1. Yeah, because we were saying that there's a chance. Now, I don't know if they flew out after the game. I don't think they did. I would imagine the Knicks will fly out this morning. We'll get an answer at some point. But either way, it's today, it's tomorrow, it's Thursday, it's Friday, it's Saturday. So that's 6 days in Detroit, man.
Yeah, that's a long time. I do think the Knicks will be fine. And by the way, BT, I'm curious to see now how they respond, because a lot of what they've done well in the first two games has been, I don't want to say just crowd-induced, but the 21-0 run, is that something they could do on the road? I mean, you're turning it up. You're feeling the energy of the crowd. Same thing last night, trying to get back into that game. You know, the crowd going nuts with the defense. Knicks getting a big stop, turning it into offense. Crowd going nuts. That momentum that they had late in these games, in Game 1 coming all the way back, and then last night trying to come back and chip away and get back into it, I think that's a part of being home. On the road, they're not going to have that. We're going to learn a little something else about this Knicks team and see what they're made of here.
We will. Listen, I still think they'll win the series. I always thought the Pistons would get two, so I'm going to stick with the Knicks in six here. But, you know, the thing that's becoming more and more evident with the Pistons is that their talents are transferable every night, because their main talent is toughness. And obviously, Cade Cunningham is an emerging superstar. But like, the Knicks have more finesse, more skill, more shooters. But sometimes your shot abandons you, as Mikal Bridges last night. Whereas with the toughness department, that showed up every time you get off the team bus. So I think we've got a knockdown series, and I think it's going to be long.
If it were best of five, maybe I'd feel a little differently. But in a best of seven, generally, that talent or that shooting is going to win out. Generally, doesn't mean every time. And I just feel like if the Knicks are hitting some shots, the Pistons, even at their best, just don't have enough to match them. They're tough, sure, but I mean, they, like you said, they missed an opportunity in Game 1. They got fortunate last night that they didn't blow it again in Game 2, because they did allow the Knicks to come back and tie it, and they just missed open looks, whether it was Brunson, whether it was Bridges that you mentioned down the stretch. And Schroeder, of course, hits the money shot.
I know. He is. Yeah, I'd say he's a pain in the ass to play against. He's a good player.
You're right. They have tough players that we in this city can appreciate. Beasley, I love.
Mm-hmm.
And Cunningham also. He's not a finesse, just talent guy.
No.
He's a guy that's going to attack you. He's a beast, too, and a no-nonsense type guy. But ultimately, I just don't think that their team has enough. We'll see. Series tied up at a game apiece. Corey is calling from Edison. What's up, Corey?
Hey, fellas. So it's funny. I didn't think Tibbs was a main issue with his coaching last night, but like BT pointed out earlier, he revealed himself to be an issue with how he was complaining about the refs at in the press conference. How many times in this series, in these two games, have we seen Cat and Brunson take minimal contact and throw up some weird, awkward shot and like look for the foul call, right? I mean, get on your players and say, guys, it's playoff basketball. That's not going to cut it. These guys are not going to give you these regular season fouls that they give you, throw you a bone, right? Instead of going and don't go out there and publicly blame the refs. It's a joke.
Well, don't you think a part of what he was doing was sticking up for his players?
Yeah, but I just don't think it's going to go well with the refs. I don't think the Celtics and the Cavs, those guys, the coaches, they're not looking for foul calls, right? They know it's going to be tough. They know you got to get buckets. And look at the Pistons, right? The reason why they get these calls is when they attack the basket, they're not looking to get fouled, right? They have the intention of scoring. If they get fouled, okay, we go to the line, right? The Knicks are driving to get fouled, and that's not going to work in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's almost like they're anticipating contact, thanks for the call, where the primary purpose, to your point, is to go to the free throw line, which that should be the secondary purpose. That should be the byproduct of not making the shot and attacking the rim with aggression. The primary thing should be to make the shot. And you do see a lot of, you know, a lot of Knicks flailing up shots off the wrong foot, just kind of flipping it there, you know, flipping things up. You know, and by the way, Pat Riley would do this all the time. Like, Pat Riley would talk to his team, but also talk to the league office through a press conference. Tom Thibodeau's not Pat Riley. He's not, and yeah, he's really good.
He's under that tree learning from, you know, Van Gundy, who learned from Pat Riley.
I know.
You don't think that was measured, those comments last night?
Definitely do. You know, and by the way, I believe there's some merit to it.
I was just going to say, you don't think they're warranted? I mean, 34-19 disparity?
I don't have a problem with that, but I think that at this point, we're learning that there's a bit of a shift here in the NBA. Like, you know, we always say, and it's become this way for a while, it's soft, it's finesse, oh, we wish it was the 90s. Well, last night they let you play like it was the 90s. One team met the energy, one team did not, and the team that won was the team that met the energy.
You see this New York basketball account, at @NBA_New York, they do a great job tweeting out a lot of the Knicks stuff. Last night I saw this before the game, Ray Acosta was the official for Game 2, and it said Knicks have a .626 home winning percentage last 3 years. With Acosta officiating, it's .300.
I remember seeing something similar with Acosta earlier this season, not the updated. So,
I mean, and
make
then,
some money, take the team.
Well, that was tweeted out, that was posted out there on social media before the game. And then you, now, again, I'm not blaming the officials. I blame Bridges for not hitting an open shot, Brunson for being a ball hog, not getting his teammates involved, whatever. You could blame a lot of different players. But the officiating, I thought last night was awful. It was inconsistent. It was awful. Letting them play is one thing.
Mm.
Dude, it was out of control at ports in that game.
It was pretty ragged for a while. It's one thing, there's a fine line, and it's a tough job by the refs. Like, you want to let them go a little bit. You want to let physicality, provided it's done the right way, you want to reward that. You want to have a chance for that to bear the fruits of victory. But there were too many times where, there were like bodies contorted both ways, but more Knicks, I'll give you that, where guys are just, and I don't even think they were flopping or selling or overselling. They were just knocked off their mark, and the whistle was not blown.
Maybe the Knicks flopping, or Brunson specifically, doesn't help them, but they did not get the benefit of the whistle. And the one that stuck out to me the most, Josh Hart got screwed a couple of different times.
Talking about when he tried to dunk it? Or when he did dunk it, I'm sorry, on that the late one, when he dunked it two hands right under the rim?
Yes, but that was not the one
I'm talking
about.
I didn't think that was horrendous, like an egregious miss myself. I didn't.
The three. Josh Hart's three.
Yeah.
To me, he clearly got, he had only one three in the game. He clearly was fouled.
Mm-hmm.
Shot goes up, boom, he was hammered, and he's looking at the ref like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if they showed a close replay of that, but in real time, you know, you just get a natural feel watching these games in real time. Sometimes like, oh, that's odd. He shot the ball. He got hit. The ball goes in. It was no and one, which I thought was ridiculous. But that was just one minor example.
Let me ask you a question. So, actually, I'm going to save it for top of the hour. It's a bigger issue question about these Knicks that I need your opinion on, because I want to see if something changed in how you look at these guys. I'll do it a little bit.
BT and Sal on the Fan.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.